This is the Giant Sports Show on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Brought to you by Giant Sunflower Seeds. Giant Seeds. Go big. Or go home. And now, from the KBMW studios, here's KBMW Sports Director Andrew Zimmel.
Good morning. Happy October 1st. Get the pumpkins out. Get the scarecrows out. Get that Halloween spirit out. And talk about a spooky night. We got a bunch of big games for you. Wahpeton and Breckenridge coaches will be in to talk to us today, as well as head coach of the NDSCS Wildcats for their homecoming game. Coach Isendorf going to come in and talk to us. But first, we start off the 9 o'clock hour with head coach of the Wahpeton Huskies, Wade Gilbertson, coming off a 40-6 loss yesterday to the Valley City Highliners. And, you know, there's a lot of ways we can cut this cake, coach, or I should say pumpkin pie. I'm going to try to rationalize it as last week was our homecoming game. We played up to the competition. Valley City had their homecoming game last night, and I would argue that they played beyond the competition, right? They played pretty well.
Yeah, they brought it to us, and I don't know. I guess I told our guys after the game, I'm not even going to try to rationalize this thing, because it is it was a butt whipping, and there are things that we can learn from it, and we are going to move on. They were ready to play us. Like I told you off air, they were ready to play us last Sunday afternoon. I know they were, and I don't think that we were ready to play. And so I will take everything on my shoulders for last night. Absolutely. And if I can't get my team up to play a game like that after we have beaten the number one team in the state, and we got a chance to do it 2 weeks in a row to beat the number one team in the state, Valley City, then I'll take every little ounce of it. But hats off to them. They were ready to play us. We've beaten them the last 2 years, and I know that their coaching staff did a great job of watching film. When I talked to him before the game at about, I suppose it was about 4:45, 5 o'clock, somewhere in there, he was talking about every single game that we had played so far this year, and he was going over with me a couple of things in just conversation. It wasn't like we were trading secrets, but in conversation, he's talking about this nice play and that nice play and this when we played well on defense. And I'm thinking, oh boy, this guy has watched every second of every one of our games. And so their coaching staff hated to lose to us the last 2 years, and they saw what we did against Jamestown, and I guarantee you, for their homecoming, they were ready to play us a week ago. They couldn't wait, and they kicked us right in the teeth.
And it started off just like that, because, you know, we talked last week. We didn't have the show last week, but I got to catch you after the game. And you said that the kind of philosophy is you're going to defer. The teams defer on the kick. We get it. And then the plan is get as many offensive possessions as possible.
Yeah.
Valley City wins the coin toss, and they say, you know what, we're going to take that on their head. We know they like to have the ball first. We'll take the ball first.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was good strategy by them. I really do. And, of course, when teams do that, they want the other team to have less possessions, and they want to have more. They want to try to – and in their case, they want to try to milk the clock with the offense that they're running. It's 1946. You go back in time when you're watching their offense on the football field.
See, the thing is that, like, we say, okay, they're going to milk the clock, going to milk the clock. But I had a coach tell me one time that every single play that a head coach draws up, maybe not, maybe it's hyperbole, but he told me every time that he draws up a play, it's to score a touchdown.
It's not hyperbole. It absolutely is not.
Okay.
I can attest to that very thing. Over the last number of years that I've coached football, everything that I draw up offensively is to score a touchdown. And when I dissect it on film afterwards, if there's a little thing here or there that we could have corrected, I'll even tell our players, hey, I'm the kind of weirdo that expects us to score on every single play, knowing that that's not realistic because the other team gets to call plays too, and the other team gets to move around as well. But I'll dissect a play almost all the way down to where, well, if we did this and we did that and we did that and we did this third and fourth and fifth thing, then we probably would have scored.
Yeah.
So I can absolutely attest to that. But and they're no different. They are no different, but they definitely wanted to limit our possessions, and we ran the least number of plays we've ran all year and gained the least number of yards we've gained all year. So hats off to the defense there at Valley.
40-6 loss last night. Can I blame the weather? Because I know it was bad weather.
Last week I said, and I kind of thought of this on the way home last night, and I think at one point last week there was talk about playing with a lot of heart. And the 6 inches between breastbone and backbone and those kind of cool things that coaches say sometimes, you know what I mean? But I thought that on the way home last night, boy, we played with a lot of heart last week. And I don't know if we played with a lot of mental strength last night. And I'll take that on me again. I'm not going to throw any of my staff under the bus. I'm not going to throw my players under the bus. I think that this lies solely with me. And I got to fix it because we played with the 6 inches in our chest last weekend, and we didn't play with the 6 inches between our ears last night. We absolutely did not.
Was there a lot of penalties?
No.
Okay.
No, there were not a lot of penalties at all last night.
Yeah.
No, in fact, we were asking for a few, to tell you the truth.
Okay, well, I was kind of curious if that you were talking about, okay, we were making dumb plays, you know, offsides, holding penalties, stuff like that. But you're talking about just like not playing with mental toughness when it comes to, hey, we got punched in the mouth. How do you respond to
that? How do you respond to it? Okay. How do you get yourself up off the mat on the first play of the football game when they come out of their corner swinging and they come out of their corner with body blows and how do you respond to that? Because, you know, the old Mike Tyson saying of, you know, everybody's got a plan until, well, we had a plan until they came out of their corner swinging, and we weren't able to get up off the mat because we didn't play very well with the 6 inches between our ears.
Got you.
We weren't mentally tough.
And, you know, that I think is something that's a learning experience, right? Because you talk about, okay, we beat them 2 years in a row. There's some guys on this squad. There's some guys that didn't play in those two games, but they come in thinking, hey, you know, last year I watched our team win from the sideline. I didn't play a single snap, but I know, hey, when Wahpeton plays Valley City, we come out on top. So maybe that kind of changes some mindsets.
Maybe, yeah, because we've beat them the last 2 years. And I asked this at film last week. I asked to a show of hands, how many of us have played meaningful snaps in a varsity game at Valley City, Hanna Field, when Valley City's been good? And there should have been two hands that went up, and that was it in the whole room. So our players don't have experience playing at Valley City. They might think that they do because mm-hmm. they played there in junior high or maybe JV. That's nowhere near the same. When Valley City is a good football team and you go to Valley City to play, we remember this from about 4 years ago, they are mean. They are physical. They will get after your butt. And they did that last night, boy.
Now, how do you change a program like that? Because Valley City last year wasn't very good. The year prior, they were kind of middle of the road. How do you take it from like, okay, we know what we were, we know what we are, let's get back to where we were. How do you change a program like that?
And they've been up and down like us throughout the years, being a smaller school. They get certain kids in that are better than others. But at the same time, I mean, I can go over a couple of points with you. First off, they've got almost everybody back from last year's team. And they are very well experienced at the varsity level. I know that in Valley City, football is the number one in the fall. So those kids are going to camps. Those kids are in the weight room. They're working hard. And the other thing that I will point to is they've made a couple of coaching staff changes. And I honestly believe that that has helped them take a giant leap forward.
That's great. I mean, and, you know, like I said, you don't ever want to be on the losing end of any of these type of games. But, hey, that's what Saturday mornings are for, you know, dissecting it. Let's talk about some of the players. What did you think of your quarterback play last night?
That was good. I mean, we have all the trust in the world in the kid. I mean, there's a reason why we have him at quarterback. You know, there's nothing in my mind right now that says that he can't do the job. Not a thing. And it's up to me to be able to get him to a point to be successful. Whether it's rainy and cold, hot, windy, whatever it is, it's up to me to get him ready to go offensively. So to be honest with you, Bo probably didn't have the game that he wanted to have. I mean, did anybody on our sideline have the game that they wanted to have? No.
I'm going to go no.
Yeah, that's a definite no. But at the same time, I told you before, I'm taking it. And yeah. I need to get the offense prepared to be able to move the ball against a defense like that, because if we want to achieve any of our goals, we obviously are going to have to, because our best play last night was a no play, was a hard count. That was our best play, and that doesn't happen here. It hasn't happened here for about 4 years. So we've got to get a couple things, or I have to get a couple things figured out on the offensive side of the ball. I thought our defense played really well. I even said so at halftime. I thought, boy, for as much as our defense has been on the field, and I know our guys play both ways, so the guys on offense are also on defense, mostly anyway. But our defense, as much as they were on the field and getting pushed around, I thought that we held our own. If we can put a couple of drives together and run more than, what, 15 plays and a half, it might be a different ball game.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's times last night where we were run the board from the studio, and it felt like I was asking, you know, I have our producer, Big Mike, in here with me. I was asking Mike, I go, did we punt already? Was that was just like, because it felt like the, it always felt like Valley City had the ball. And it's in those type of games, and I know you're doing your own thing on the sideline. The coach's world's completely different from the fan's point of view. But I'll tell you, there's some times where you'll be sitting in the stands, maybe you're talking to somebody, and you're like, wait, hold on a second. We just had the ball. Now we don't. We didn't turn it over. So what's how's this? How is it that every time I look up from whatever my conversation, Valley City is running a play?
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. I mean, it's been a while since I've actually sat in the stands and watched a football game, but I guess I watch it a little bit differently. But I get what you're saying. There's people in the stands that might miss the minutia type things that are going on during a football game. But yeah, the football games for me go by really fast.
I'll tell you what, you're missing out because they did this new thing with the popcorn coach, and it just really does. It adds a lot to the atmosphere.
About popcorn. hey, that's okay. That's all right because there wasn't much else to talk about, I don't think, this morning other than we need to get back to work, right?
Well, and that's the thing. You know what I mean? You can say a lot of stuff. It's one of those deals where, you know, a good win, you feel good on Saturday morning. A tough loss, you feel bad. You're two-thirds through the season, and that's kind of what I want to look at here is the last third. Yeah. And then I think the playoffs is a completely different beast. So if you split the season up into four parts, you know, first fourth, second fourth, right, halfway through the season, the last third of the season, then the playoffs, what have you seen in the first two-thirds that you're saying to yourself, okay, I can take that and we can build off of this?
Yeah, I think that we can move the football, and I think we can stop people. And as of last week, I think we can compete with anybody in the state. I really do. But we've got to be tough enough, both mentally and physically, to play through any kind of condition and play through any kind of home field advantage. We've got to be able to do that. And if we can't, then you know our season might be shorter than what we want it to be. Yet we've got three games left, and we always tell our players, or I always try to come across as somebody that believes that every single week is a playoff game now that we're judged by QRF. We're judged by quality of wins. We're judged by quality of opponent. And so every week's a playoff game, and we're fighting for our playoff lives. But in high school football, you know, you win a couple of games, and then you lose a couple of games. You blink, and you're at three games left in the season, and that's it. I mean, I know that it can be a grind sometimes, coaching and playing football, but I know that some of these kids and myself and our coaching staff is thinking about, wow, we have three regular season games left. Boy, did that go fast, if that makes sense, and knowing that it's a grind. So we've got to be able to get a couple of things corrected here. We got to get a couple things turned around. We got to keep doing things well that we do well. And we'll be fine. We've got three opponents ahead of us that I think are easily beatable. If we come out and we practice our best and we play our best and try to go 1-0 in every single thing that we do every single day. We're trying to position ourselves right now for that playoff run without trying to look too far forward, if that makes sense.
We were debating this off air before you got here, Coach, and we were saying, like, Who's going to step up? Who's going to fill in some of those shoes? Because we looked at the roster, we look at the starters, and it's mostly seniors at this point for you.
Yeah.
Does that ever cross your mind during the season? Like, hey, you know, I watched the JV game. There's a sophomore offensive tackle that I really like, and I can't wait for him to get varsity snaps next year. Does that cross your mind at all during the season?
A little bit. Okay. I mean, there's certain things that you want to do as the head coach to be able to get guys certain experience here, certain experience there. You know, somebody like a Braden Steffens or a Landon Ralph, who are a freshman and a sophomore, respectively, you want to try to get that, even though they're taking reps on a Friday night for us, they're filling in holes for us. But you still want them to play JV because you still want them to get those valuable reps on both sides of the football because to be better at football, you need to play more football, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there's things that as a head coach you look at and try to adjust here and there with getting guys going for the next season after. But right now,
yeah,
I'm looking at our senior group, and there's a couple of them right now that I think are leading full steam ahead. There's a couple of them that I think are going to be the first one through the brick wall. I know for a fact that Caden Kappas, number 5, will run through a brick wall for Wahpeton High School. I know that he will. And so he kind of lives by the philosophy of the first one through the wall is going to get bloody. He's going to go head first through that wall. But at the same time, we don't want to put too much on him because he wants to play his game and do what he does well as well. We have to have other guys step up too, whether you're a junior, whether you're a sophomore, whether you're a freshman. You need to follow that lead, and you need to step up in these last three games and these last number of weeks of practice and take it upon yourself to be that much better as we go down the stretch. So I know that I'm definitely going to lean on some of those older guys who have been in these situations before.
Head coach of the Wabanon Huskies, Wade Gilbertson, talked to us on a Saturday morning. Coach, thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you for having me.
More of the Giants Sports Show coming up in a minute right here on the Voice of the Valley, KBMW.
This is the Giants Sports Show on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW. Brought to you by Giant Sunflower Seeds. Giant Seeds. Go big. And now, from the KBMW studios, here's KBMW Sports Director Andrew Zimmel.
Welcome back. Andrew Zimmel hanging out with you on a Saturday morning. Happy October 1st for those that celebrate, right? 58 degrees and cloudy right now. And in with me right now is Breckenridge defense coordinator Jordan Christensen after a 49-16 win yesterday against the Roseau Rams. And I don't know, what do you do to a Ram? Do you dehorn them? I don't know what's happening there. But you guys played a really good game last night.
Yeah, that was fun. The kids played well. We came out better than we had the last time I was here against Frazee. We were ready to play this time, which was good. And we've been on the kids a lot about practicing the way you're going to play all week, and it's translated to two good performances last 2 weeks.
You know, last time, for fans that weren't listening, last time Jordan came in, and it was after a homecoming loss, and it looked like somebody ran over his puppy. But today I said, hey, you know, we didn't get to talk to you last week. This week, you give up 16 points. Eight of them came off a kick return, which, I mean, I don't know. How are you in charge of special teams, too?
Everybody's in charge of special teams. Honestly, I'm not trying to make excuses, but our kicker is really good. Like, Goose kicks the ball almost too far for our guys to get down there in time, and they get such a running start at it that we've given up a couple returns kind of further than we want, and this one was bad. We missed a couple tackles. We got to get it figured out.
So I want to ask, because that happens in the first quarter, and you think to yourself, you're like, oh, brother, is this what this type of game is going to be? It's going to be a shootout. And then you get our guy, Gavin Peterson, who put him, I don't know what he runs in the track events, coach, but you got to put him in the 200 at this point, because he was on his horse yesterday getting into the end zone. He was in the second line, too. So he's on the hands team. He grabs that ball. When he picked it up, were you thinking to yourself, oh, yeah, Gavin's got it. I feel confident.
I thought, okay, let's get 15 yards, and all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. He gets to the edge, and he was gone. But Petey, I love that kid. He's not out there to return the kick. He's out there to block and hit some people hard, but he ended up just rumbling all the way in.
Rumbling, stumbling, bumbling. And, hey, he got into the end zone, and that's what you want, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I think in that microcosm of football is just so funny to me. And I think that, like, when you look back on film, you're going to – I don't know if you've already watched it. Fans can go back and watch it on KBMW News Live on YouTube. But, like, okay, you give up a kick return, and it's just tit for tat. You got to be like, okay, well, you know, they did it to us, so we got to do it to them. And I just thought that was so great, Coach.
It was a good way to respond, like, because the mood on the sideline was like, oh, come on, guys. Like, we can't be giving that up. And then all of a sudden, everybody forgot about it pretty quick because Petey scored that one. And then right before that, our special teams made a big play. We've been waiting on our special teams to do something. Alex Sanchez blocked a punt. Then we get the ball at like the 12 or whatever it was and run one play and scored. I think we ended up being up 14-0 at that point and then gave up the kick return. But it was a better night for our special teams other than that kick return that we gave up.
If that's the only blemish in a 49-16 win, Coach, I think you can live with it.
I'll live with it.
Now, you brought in more stats this week than you did last week, so I'm excited to hear some of them.
So last night, I'll just start with last night's stuff. Cam Neto ran the ball 8 times for 115 yards, which is just absurd. You know, he had a good game. He had one
touchdown.
That's
an understatement.
Yeah. Martell had one carry for 6 yards, or Alex Martell. Bailey Evans had one carry for 13 yards. We've been trying to get a few things going with quarterback run, so that's good to see. him going, getting some positive yards. Grant Davis had a carry for 4 yards at the end of the game. That was actually a big one because then we could end with the ball in the lead. It was like 4th and 3, I think. And then the JV kids, they had been in for most of the second half other than one drive. But it was, I think it was 4th and 3. We ended up going for it, getting 4 yards, and then we could bring in, we could run victory formation and just end the game and didn't have to run any more plays, which was nice. You always want to end with the ball in lead. And then Sanchez, Alex Sanchez, he had 4 carries for 45 yards. Gavin Peterson had 4 carries for 13 yards, and then his kick return. Jacob Kunkel, that might not be right there. I can't remember about if that's right. I don't know if that one's right. David Erlinson had 34 yards. Austin Drulo had a carry for 34 yards. Lawson Oliphant. Lawson, he had 4 carries for 11 yards. I was really happy for this kid. Last week, we played at Underwood. He got his first ever varsity carry, fumbled, felt terrible about it. He got 4 carries, was able to put that behind him, did a good job last night. And then Paul had 1 carry for 10 yards. And then Dawson had his first touchdown of the year, Dawson Weinbar, on a corner route. It's good for him. That was awesome to see. And then Sanchez got a couple balls, and he ended up with 44 receiving yards too. Tackling wise, I got a lot more tackles now. Coach McCall does a good job taking the tackles. Alex Schockert had 6 total tackles. Trey Vogelbacher had 4 in the second half, and then I think 1 on special teams. Caleb Albertson had 4 in the second, and he played basically just second half. Alex Martell had 8 tackles. Grant Davis had 3 tackles. Dawson Weinbar had 2. Alex Sanchez had 3. Gavin Peterson had 6. Jacob Kunkel had 2. David Erlinson had 3 tackles. He's starting to play a little bit more varsity reps at times, and he's a pretty physical kid for a freshman. Austin Drulo had a couple tackles. Paul Armitage, who's another kid who's been, he's just been improving a lot, like, throughout the year. He's a sophomore. He had 4 tackles and a sack. And then Landon Bloffus had a couple tackles. Henry Sledadal had a couple tackles. We got a lot of names. We played a lot of kids the other night. And then Al Martinez had 3 tackles. Dallin Ernst and Gibson Hasbargen both had 3. And then Tom Couts and Logan Church each had a tackle. And we had 2 fumble recoveries on the night. And by Jackson Riggs and Alex Schockert, and then the block punt by Alex Sanchez, and it was a good night for the Cowboys.
I would say so. Now, my producer Big Mike is asking about, there was an injury yesterday with his knee. Do we have any update on that?
So Jake Hare, he had a, I don't know how I should say this on air.
Well, that's fine.
He had a knee injury, yeah. And it was. It was a rough one. He is in pretty good spirits about it.
That's good.
It was dislocated and it wouldn't go back in, basically. So that's why the ambulance was out. But he was, at one point, he was laughing with our guys because they had Schockert, him and Schockert grew up together. And they had said, Schockert's like, yeah, I've seen this happen like 3 or 4 times when we were little playing football. And it's like, oh, I've popped it in once or twice. But I don't know. Those two, Jake was smiling by the end of it, and like as we were going to the locker room, he was waving at all the guys and seemed to be in pretty good spirits. Well, hopefully he's all right.
That's what we wanted to hear. We wanted to hear what the update was, if it was good, if it was bad. That was like, all right, we're good. That's great. Anytime it's a knee injury, Coach, I don't know about you. I just like bite my tongue. I think it's, you know how they do head, elbows, knees, and toes? That's kind of how my brain goes. I'm like, if it's a head injury, an arm injury, or like a knee injury, I'm like, I don't want to see it. Don't show me the replay.
Yeah, and it's some knee injuries that they do. This one looked a little bit gruesome, but I think Jake will end up being all right.
Well, that's good. Now let's talk about where you guys are as a team. 2 wins back to back, pretty big wins. Last time you were in, we were talking about the defense. You had to make some adjustments. I understand the type of opponent. You're not having to make these like gigantic adjustments to the defense, but you did tweak some things. Have those played off the way that you want them to?
It has. Okay. We moved Landon Bloffus down to DN, and Alex Schockert we move him around a little bit, and he's going to move around a lot more next week based on, well, they've got this kid, Sakura is his last name, and he's plays for West Central, but he's number 11, and if you watch that game, he's a dude, but we're going to do some things formationally with Schockert and Blaufuss to hopefully neutralize him, and because there's a few tendencies we can pick up on and get him in good spots to make plays.
See, and that's what you kind of want to do. And it's all, I'm impressed you guys are already breaking down the film, figuring out like what the next step is going to be for this like journey.
Oh, and West Central is one. It's a big one for us.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of our biggest games of the year, and they're going to hit hard. It'll be a fun football game. And last year, kids kind of have a bad taste in our mouth. We didn't play our best against them last year. And then they were in the state championship last year, so that makes it even a little bit more fun.
Mm. Now, QRF, it's way above my head. I do not have an advanced degree in mathematics, so I don't understand it. And you're a defense coordinator, you're a football coach on the or the team for Breckenridge. Do you have any idea what the QRF score for the squad is at this point?
We had, I think, 19.5 points, and we were the fourth seed in the section. And honestly, unless something crazy happens, I could see us end in the 3 or 4 in the QRF. So okay. That's kind of about where we'll be at going into playoffs, which is fine. We'll play whoever, wherever.
That's the right mindset to have. Only a handful of games left for the Breckenridge Cowboys. Coach Jordan Christensen in with us right now. Coach, before I let you go, anything else? Got anything else fun for me?
No. I think this week could be... This is going to be a fun football game. I'm excited for our kids, and they'll be ready to go. They'll be juiced up.
Well, I'm excited. We'll either talk to you or head coach Chad Frederson next week. Hope it's you, because I think it'll be fun to talk to you if it goes the way that it's going to go. I'm excited for you guys.
Awesome. Thank you.
Head coach of the Breckenridge – or defense coordinator for the Breckenridge Cowboys, Jordan Christensen, talking to me. More of the Giant Sports Show coming up after the break.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KDMW.
Good morning, Andrew Zimmel hanging out with you on this beautiful Saturday morning. And with me right now is the head coach of the NDSCS Wildcats, Coach Isendorf. Coach, it's been too long for me not to talk to you face-to-face, and I apologize for that, because we should have been doing this a while ago.
No, that's all good, Andrew. We're just... appreciative of getting on the air.
Yes, sir. And you can listen to all of the NDSCS Wildcats games on B92.7. And look, this is a very special one because you got homecoming this week. I've been talking about it all week long, about all the cool stuff that the college has been doing in town. How important is it for the alumni, for the community to come together for a homecoming game like this?
Well, it's always special, you know, to get your student athletes, former students, supporters of the college back for homecoming. You know, it's just a exciting time for everyone. You know, a lot of Hall of Famers will come back, and those that are getting inducted sometimes have been gone a long time. So to bring them back on campus, show them all the facility upgrades and both on campus and our athletic facility is you know, it's great for them, and hopefully that generates, you know, more support for our college.
I'll tell you, you guys have some of the best facilities, I think, in North Dakota for this college of you guys' size. I think it's really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, just in our region. You know, yeah. Some places in the MCAC really struggle with their facilities, and that's one thing that, you know, North Dakota in general, right, has supported a lot of our campuses and provide us just, you know, some great opportunities for learning and extra activities.
So let's talk about this season so far, Coach, because homecoming is important, but it's also nice to have a pretty good team on the field, and you guys have a really good one. 3-1 so far this season.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've got a lot more in the tank, and I think we need to come out, you know, this week and really prove that of what we can really do from start to finish. I don't feel like we've played a complete game yet, and I told a lot of our guys that we've underachieved based on the roster that we have. We've got just a ton of weapons and a solid defense, and when you can add that and have a really good quarterback with Nick Punton, you know, we just need all three phases to really play well today and show how well we can play for a full four quarters.
I was going to say, you're saying, oh, we have a lot left in the tank. We have a lot way to go. This is like, you know, if you were 2-1 or whatever, 1-2, I'd be like, oh, you know, maybe coach has a point. But 3-1, you're saying we should be 4-0, coach.
We should be. Okay. I mean, honestly, that's what you hope to be, but we're not.
Yep.
We still can control our own destiny and home field advantage throughout the playoffs. We have to win. You know, we have to win our games. And I told our kids we have to just really start playing at a high level all the time. And now, the effort has been great. And, you know, the kids have been growing, you know, both in practice and in the games. But I just feel like we have underachieved, and I put that challenge to our team to come on and show what they can do for a full complete game.
Now, I talk to the other NDSCS coaches sometimes about how hard it is to you only got a guy for a couple years, you got a guy for 1 or 2 years, so it's really hard, I think, to develop a culture and develop like a leadership hierarchy. You got a couple guys on this squad now, coach, that are sophomores that were here last year that had really good seasons. I'm thinking about your quarterback and then sophomore wide receiver Marcelio Mendez. How important is that leadership in the locker room?
Well, it's really important, especially from your quarterback position. And I think Graydon is continuing to grow into that position as well. We had some conversations this week about, how things were led last year and how things need to be led separately this year, and to separate the two, because you can't go backwards, mm-hmm. right? And you want to see your best players develop as a complete player. And we've got a ways to go in that department. I think we're at times can be a little bit immature, and that's pretty typical of most teams, especially when they're comprised of sophomores and freshmen. And we do have a big freshman class, but we have to grow up really fast in this league. And you see where some of the teams are ahead of us. And right nipping at our heels behind us, and we hope to face all those teams. And in order to do that, you have to have strong leadership, and you have to practice that all the time, right? I'm a big believer in practice, and it really kind of leads to what you're going to do in a game. In regards to culture, culture starts with our institution, what it means. And so when you say leadership, it starts there. Starts within our athletic department, as all our head coaches really compete to be at a high level all the time. And then myself, being a former Wildcat and knowing what, the history of this tradition and this institution, and you try to, bring that to your kids as fast as they can so that they soak it up and you know that they'll appreciate it 20, 30 years down the road like I do.
I want to talk about the tradition and everything with homecoming, but I want to talk about the, because you mentioned something. You said that we have to grow up fast. You know, if I want to grow my plant fast, I can give it Miracle-Gro. I can give it, water, nutrients. What is that when it comes to growing up fast? Like, how do you get these guys to grow up fast?
You challenge them.
Yeah.
You constant challenge and then test them, right? Challenge and test, and then reteach. You're always teaching, and that's one thing about this game is you'll never know it all, right? Everything kind of, you'll know things, but you're always going to continue to grow in that manner, and that's what you want your kids to do. So you show them, how it is to be a leader. It's not always, loud voice and lack of self-control. You have to control some of your emotions and move on to the next play, right? And always be better the next time and don't try to make those mistakes. So that goes through film study, individual meetings with kids, on the field, in the locker room. So it's a holistic approach to that growth.
So let's talk about the traditions, because you mentioned with homecoming, and I feel like this really ties it all together. I asked you what your favorite homecoming memory was, and you gave me a really good one, Coach.
Yeah, well, in 2012, we were, as a team, our 1992 bowl championship team, we won the RC Cola Bowl, was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2012, and that was just a special moment for all of us. We ended up all purchasing and getting rings for that. that we didn't get rings in our, you know, when we were younger, we didn't have any money, man. You know, it was $5 went a long ways. And so we all got rings just trying to celebrate that and always have a kind of keepsake as we move forward. So that for me was a really special one because that was team, right? It involved our team. This week is really special too. I have two former teammates that are getting inducted from the 92 team, David Jackson and Gordy Morrison, as well as David was a coach of the 99 team that's actually getting inducted today too. So some coaches are coming back, former teammates, Steve Calvin, you know, he's been around a long time and he's actually making the trip back after his game on Friday. He's a high school coach in Milwaukee. So yeah, it's exciting. This will be another one just to celebrate with my teammates and then the 99 team and those others that are going into the hall.
So let's talk about the game today. You guys are playing, I want to get this right, Central Lakes College. What can you, what game preview can you give us?
Yeah, well, Central Lakes has always been one of the top programs, and they always seem to be playing their best football at the end of the season. I think Greg does a really good job of teaching and having discipline. It's a disciplined football team. I think their coaches are really good at scheme and challenging you both offensively and defensively, so it's always a tough task there. Solid in specials. You know, special teams is a big part, especially with those game-changing plays. So they always do a really good job on both sides of the football and special teams and are disciplined and play really hard. A lot of their kids are from the Twin Cities area, that Brainerd, and they're from Brainerd, Minnesota. So that proximity is really good for them. They get, quite a few suburban kids, and they know how to play football down there. And we're excited for that challenge and that test today, especially as a head football coach with, the way our third game ended, the bye, and then going to Vermilion and just, they're just a little bit down and depleted right now. So it wasn't, you really want to just test yourself against the best ones in the league. And I'm really excited to see how our, kids perform.
I'm excited for it today. That game kicks off at 1:30 p.m. on B92.7. And, of course, we want you to go to the game as well. I want to finish it up here, though, because you have a guy who's gotten a little bit of media attention, Coach. And tell me how special this guy is.
Yeah, Bray is just, he's just your guy, average guy. He the specialness in it is just his mindset. Right, I think that's what makes him special, and the things that he's gone about throughout his life, being a kid that grew up, played football in Pennsylvania, and then went into the Army and served our country, and I applaud those guys that go in and provide that freedom for us, and then to rejoin the National Guard and be a part of it. And then to, really take the risk, right? And both feet into doing everything that he wants to do, working full time, going to school and then playing football. And so we can all kind of, wish we were him in some aspect, especially at our age, right?
49 years old playing. Does he start for you now, Coach, or does he
no,
just play?
No, he doesn't start. He's a backup role playing guy. But I'm 48, and I, I wouldn't want to go out there and run around, no matter what shape I'm in. Just the recovery time alone would be a challenge. But so we can all kind of live through him. And then the biggest thing about Ray, it's not about him. He wants to, he felt a little bit. Like he was putting himself out in front of the team. And I told him, really, it is a good example for all of us. It supports our college. It supports our program. It gives us recognition beyond just our region. And then it's just a great story, I think, of our institution and how accepting it is of all people. And I think that's what you see throughout our whole student body is just people from all different parts of life that come together and live in a community and hopefully, develop that Wildcat pride. and then take that and live that within their life and spread that, right? That's what we all hope, and that's why we're in this business. It's you know, the wins and losses we always fight hard for, and we want that success. But really the successes are the things that you see behind the scenes and after, you know, they leave, you know, the success that they have and that growth. So Ray is a great example of that, and he doesn't sound like he's going anywhere for a couple of years. So it sounds like we'll be celebrating his 50th birthday in August next year.
I love it. Head coach of the NDSCS Wildcats, Coach Isendorf. Coach, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us this morning. Go Wildcats.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate KBMW and all of our supporters, and really excited about Homecoming 2022, and come on out and see us play the Raiders from Central Lakes.
1:30 kickoff, and I think we might have good weather for it, too. We'll see if the rain holds off.
Should pass, I think. All right. A little sprinkle, but I think we'll be good.
Sounds good. You're listening to the Giant Sports Show on KBMW.